Our scripture lesson today comes from the second chapter of Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
In days to come, let us pray. Now, loving God, let the words of my mouth, meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. Please forgive me this morning if I am beginning the message with information that you know all too well. But I have been mindful, and perhaps especially this week, of just how much is going on around us in preparation for Christmas. The Friday after Thanksgiving is described as Black Friday, one of the busiest shopping days of the year. At DIA this weekend, they are expecting 150,000 passengers to go through. If that happens, it will be the largest single weekend that they have had. Our highways were projected to be filled anyway, and now with this snowstorm, I imagine even more so. I drive through communities, as I'm sure that you do, and Christmas lights are already up. And then music. Music just fills already the radio. I believe by the time Christmas comes, we're tired. In fact, there are studies, more scientific studies, that have shown that for many, Christmas can be a depressing time. People become very stressed out. So the message of Advent invites us that in the midst of what we may be experiencing from day to day, to really focus on the season. Advent, by definition, calls us, I believe, to calm ourselves and to really reflect on what someone has called the reason for the season. Advent means to come. To come. And the message of Advent is that God, through Christ, is coming to the world. There's something unique about this coming, and I don't want us ever to lose track of that. Something unique in that it was a past experience. The prophets, having promised, having said to the world that the Christ is to come. It is a present experience. And by that I mean that the birth of the babe in a manger can become to us afresh and anew. Maybe it comes to us for the very first time by way of new birth within our spiritual life. Or maybe it is just that time of renewal. And we claim what it is to grow all over again in our spirituality. It is also a future experience. And I know there's always discussion of what is the second coming and what does it mean. For this moment, I will just say, it is the challenge to watch and to wait. So this is Advent. It is a time of preparation. O come, Emmanuel. This is Advent. It invites us to a time of anticipation. In what context do we hear this fourth verse? They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war no more. One translation describes it as a future peace. To think of instruments of war being converted into instruments of farming equipment. This vision of peace, Isaiah went further to say that, and this is in that second verse, in the days to come, the mountains of the Lord shall be established. And in the third verse, many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. You read these words, and it is a vision. Isaiah did not have any reason to base his vision on. For Isaiah lived in a time of idolatry. He lived in a time of child sacrifice. Isaiah is talking about peace when there is reason for judgment all around him. He is living in a time of brokenness, but yet he is talking about the time when peace will be restored. When peace will be restored. I think that is something then that becomes unique about the message of the church. Because we live in a time all around us where people are hungry, and looking for peace. We can draw attention to ourselves. We can show that our message is not an ordinary message. We can say, as the church, because of the way we interact, work, process, care for each other, we can say our message can become that peace is possible. Not only possible, but peace is real. For what did the angel say? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward everyone. So peace has come. Much like Isaiah, the challenge becomes not to take our eyes off the vision. You know, as toward the end of the year, they always have through Time and Newsweek, the person of the year, the man of the year, the woman of the year. It's already being suggested that the person that ought to be recognized this year is Mother Nature. For what has shaped the year more than hurricanes, tornadoes, floods? Even with the person of the year as Mother Nature, our message is still one of peace. I think also about the need for peace within. I may have told you, because it's one of my favorite, I guess, stories, because it speaks to me. It was in Alice of Wonderland. And at one point, Alice says to Cheshire the cat, "Would you tell me, will you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" Cheshire the cat responds, "That depends a good deal on where you want to go." Alice said, "I don't know." Cheshire the cat responded, "Well, it won't matter much which road you take." Something about peace. It needs to start within. And then so much of peace, and I wanted to be clear and say this morning, so much of peace is not being in denial about what it is that you're facing, but not allowing what you're facing to take away from you a spirit of anticipation. It is the right spirit. There's a story told about one shoe salesman who was assigned to a territory. And when he got to the territory, no one there wore any shoes. And so he sent back word to his company, "Don't send any shoes out here. No one wears them." But there was another salesman assigned to the same territory. And he wrote back to his company, "Send all the shoes you've got. No one here has any." The right spirit. It is said that in England there is a sundial that reads, "'Tis always morning. 'Tis always morning somewhere in the world." C.S. Lewis wrote these words in his book, The Problem of Pain, written long years ago now. The Problem of Pain, but he wrote these words, "Pain consists on being, I'm sorry, pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in its pleasures, speaks to us through our conscience, and shouts in our pain. It is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world." How is it that I take the pain that I'm experiencing and not allow it to then take away my joy? The right spirit. A mother was walking by a daycare center and she was feeling a little down on herself. She had this child and didn't quite know what to do with it, really. She was feeling a little down on herself and feeling sorry for herself. And she looked up on the daycare center and it said, "Go to work while we love your child." The mother held her child a little closer, turned around and went on back home, thankful that she was able to love her child for herself. The spirit in which we live. It is something about the spirit in which we live that helps us to have peace. I wanted to claim that this morning, that as a part of this Advent season, it will be about anticipation. How different this kind of life is. Did you hear the fifth verse then? "Come, people, let us walk in the light of the Lord." You know, I've been looking for signs all around me. Ken, would you do me a favor? Would you go in the back? It's right behind the organ here. Would you, there's something there. You'll see it. It's white. It's right by the manger scene. You'll see it there. I could only do this to my brother here. I've been looking for signs always of what might be possible within the life of our church. And if Ken comes back with this, is going to be a great sign. I really didn't tell him I was going to do this, so don't worry. What's that? The pipe, that's right. There he is. No. It's a light. I don't know if you should do this to the chair of your SPR committee, though. I don't. That's it. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I've got to give you a hug for doing that.
Thank you.
We came in, and Ken actually found it. It was sitting in the pew. It was just sitting. It had its seat already in the pew. And he brought it to me and said, it was just sitting in the pew. Now, how it got there, I have no idea. We'll have to work on that tomorrow. But I thought it was quite a sign for just what we wanted to close with this morning. Let the light of Christ shine within each of us. So what is this right spirit? What is this Advent message? What is it that we're saying, let it come? It is peace. It is peace. And it is the message that the light of Christ wants to shine through each of us. Amen. Amen.